in Jesus' name that we're walking in the kingdom.
Because in several different interpretations, we see where he said that the kingdom, in different translations, translated various ways. He says the kingdom of God is among you. The kingdom of God is within you. And in Matthew's gospel, we hear about the kingdom of God a whole lot. And the kingdom of God is where we enter into God's rest as the children of Israel crossing the Jordan and entering into the promised land, entered into the rest. And we see where in Hebrews where the Savior said that Joshua spoke of another day, and that we take heed lest that when we enter into Christ's rest, that we be cast out with those because of doubt and unbelief. And I gave you last week in Bible study the five admonitions of the Hebrew writer of taking heed unto ourselves, unless we let the doctrine slip in which had been taught unto us, had been taught to them, had been shown unto us by the prophets, the apostles, pastors, and teachers, and that we don't want to be cast away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Kings 13, verse 1 through 9, is where we develop our text from today. And it goes on about Jehoahaz. He was the next king in line from Jehu, the son of Jehu. He was next to Jehu. He was the first son to reign after Jehu reigned. In the 3rd and 20th year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel and Samaria, and reigned 17 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, and he departed not therefrom. And in the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. And Jehoahaz besought the Lord, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel because of the king of Assyria oppressed them. And the Lord gave Israel a Savior, so they went out from under the hand of Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their cities as before time. Nevertheless, they departed not from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin, but walked therein. Take note of that verse also. And there remained the grove also in Samaria. Neither did he leave of the people of Jehoahaz but 50 horsemen, and 10 chariots and 10,000 footmen, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust by threshing. And now the rest of the acts of Jehoahaz and all that he did and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, which is a book that we don't have? The Chronicles is a book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. So we don't have any more on Jehoahaz than what we have stated in this book. And Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria, and Joash, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, we may have something in some of the other books, little tidbits of may have been what was occurring. But do you see that the children of Israel, they were in the promised land at that time. They were in Israel. They were in the promised land, just as the church today, scattered throughout the world, is in the promised land, because it was promised to Abraham that his seed would what? Multiply and cover as the dust of the earth, and that the whole earth would be there. So it's a universal concept with the church in the latter days. And as we see with Israel, just as we see with the church today, it's not like the church teach, as the people outside of the church teach, there's some netherworld future herein, whereas all of us will come together and be able to do these things. No, we'll be able to do those things now. We should be doing that now as priests of God, walking in the victory which Jesus Christ had claimed of us, and by faith we have established the laws of God, bringing forth the kingdom. The saints of God bring forth the kingdom of God. Just as Israel was to do in their time, was to conquer and follow God, and it was weak through the law with them. The ones within Israel that prospered, the ones that Israel that were killed, the ones that things that happened in Israel, some of them trusted and believed in God, as is in the church today. A lot of us will be oppressed. What goes on in the world goes on in the church, happens to us also. So none of us will be raptured out or moved away from the problems and the stresses that goes on in the earth. As it befalls one, it befalls another. It rains on the just and the unjust. So they had to walk therein and do God's laws as they trusted in God. But the law, we learned, was weak through the flesh, that it could not deliver. A lot of people that's in the church, that's in the world today, don't realize that same veil is over them, that they're under that same veil of the law, unless they had been redeemed from that law, the ritual of that law, the ceremonial aspect of that law, and birthed into the kingdom of God. You have to be birthed into the kingdom of God. Unless you're a son of God, unless you are born again of the Spirit, you hadn't entered into that rest of God, that kingdom rest with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost being the earnest of that inheritance whereby we can do the will of God here upon this earth. We can walk in His Word and do His Word. That's the difference. That's why a lot of people that look back and look at the children of Israel and their faults and failures don't realize that those same faults and failures exist in the church and its leaders today. And we have to modify our preaching. Our preaching has to be taught through us as a royal priesthood. And those that don't understand the things that we're saying, they're none of Christ. Because it's going to come a time, you see a lot of these churches that's on radio and television, the internet or whatever, that the language is going to be going out, and everybody that's within the body of Christ is going to understand what the preachers are talking about. But the ones that's outside of the body of Christ, they won't understand, because we have to tone this thing down to where only His sheep can hear His voice. You can't talk about the government against the government. Those are the authorities that God had put in rule. But I told you a couple of weeks ago that there may come a time where we have to yield ourselves to civil disobedience. As during the time of the Pharaohs, when the midwives didn't kill the Hebrew children because of Pharaoh's edict, God still blessed the Egyptian midwives, and they didn't yield. The apostles themselves, Peter said, that man ought to obey God rather than man. If we look at the political scene that we have today, looking at the debates and the characters and the people we have, this is a wicked nation. It's a wicked government that's coming about, and if the people about to put these type people in, the Jehoahaz type leaders that this nation is about to go on to, we have to be that scattered people. We have to be that salt that's in the mix as we offer up our bodies as living sacrifices to do the will of God, in which there were some within Israel doing at this time. Now the disobedience, we looked at verse 2 and 3 where it says that they still didn't depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. We see that in the nation today. The idolatry which is caused by our so-called holidays that we call them. They're really, the origin of those days should be holy days. I've showed you where Thanksgiving was patterned along the lines of the Feast of Tabernacles, I think it was, of the feast, one of the Feast of Harvest that they had. But as Jeroboam did it, he moved that day to make religion easier for the people and conglomerated it and moved it and caused the two holidays to kind of coincide as we have the holidays at this time, which brings about idolatry in the land. Now, when this nation was first formed, such days wasn't allowed to be celebrated that followed after the Feast of Thanksgiving, of the Feast of Tabernacles. It was against the law in the United States of America to celebrate Christmas when the Puritans, when the Pilgrims came over. This is a commercial. This is a pagan holiday, which is like the sin of Jeroboam. It produces idolatry into the land. Those are the sins that the people continued in, was the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat. And it said, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel and delivered them into the hands of Hazael, king of Syria, in the hands of Ben-Hadad of Israel. I'm sorry, of Assyria. Syria, not Assyria. Of Syria. Okay, today he's delivered us in the hands of corporate America. He's delivered us into the hands of the commercial aspects that causes the people to bow down to the idols of this land, not taking heed to God's word, not following in God's word. And God told them, when you get into the land, especially a lot of us people that came over, that were brought over as slaves also, that God had brought them over, and in Deuteronomy he told the Israelites the same thing as he tells the children of Abraham today, those that are walking in faith. Faith would be synonymous as trust and belief, as the Israelites that were within Israel that prayed during those days to God, and God heard them and relieved them. In Deuteronomy, God told him, it says, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee in greatly great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig and which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shall swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as he tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he had commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thine fathers. In which a lot of us, we've made it here. A lot of the people that came over on the Mayflower have made it here. We have mansions that's worth in the millions of dollars, multi-millions of dollars. Some of us was living in the projects. Some of us was living in so bad, a little shacks, cubby holes, one-room apartment in houses and things. And God bless you with a husband or a wife. He bless you with a good job, and he bless you with all these things. And it's more important now that you take care of those homes and your cars than to serve the living and true God. It's more people now putting more money into their houses. But my house needs to be looked this way. I don't want company to come see me over. I don't have time for the house of God, because God had blessed me with this house, and I'm going to serve this house. That's idolatry. The house had come before God. That breaks the first and the second commandment. The things that he has given you. You want to camp out all night for Black Friday or whatever it is, you take the money that, well, you know, my child will have this for Christmas, my child will have this, my child will have that. And instead of paying tithes and offerings to God, instead of giving him your time, well, this one day of the year my child will have this. That's what happened with Jeroboam. He moved religion, he started to play with the things of God. And you sacrifice giving to God, you rob God. The whole nation had robbed him because this was on sale and that was on sale. Now the people in the church, I'm not telling you that you don't be a wise steward of God's resources. If you paid your tithes and offerings, if you've given to God, and God had blessed you and multiplied you, you should be the salt in that land. That you can go out, if it's $400 for that washing, $300 for that dry, and it's cheap, that cheap on Black Friday, yes, go and buy that. You save $300 on the washer, $400 on the dryer. There's a difference between you and that other person that's buying that washer and dryer who's imped and taken from God and said, well, God, no, I got to have this. Now, you will lie and do all these things and come in the house of God. You would pray to God. You would use God's name and say you would deliver to rob God, to take care of self. You would deliver it from by God. That you could have been saving for the Nintendo, the PlayStation, the PS3. You could have bought that back in August or something, later when put this up and got ready for that. But now you would deliver it at the last moment to make loans, to not pay your bills, not do these things, to celebrate this one day that's not a religious day, that's not a holy day. And deny God. Those are idols. That was become idolatry. That's why God's anger was kindled, because he was the one who had given you power to get well. Because you gave to God that which was God, and God returned and made you a source of those things. But now you're robbing God because, well, I got to do this and got to do that. Well, sooner or later, a lot of the people that are doing this will be put out of those houses this year. A lot of those people will have those cars repossessed. A lot of those toys and stuff that you're buying, it will be moth-eaten, rust, and tainted, because you lay up treasures here on earth. Because you have robbed God, and your heart was not with God. Your heart was with stuff. It was with earthly goods. And God had warned you that he was going to bless you. But once God blessed you, you forget about God. You've married. You've intermarried. He says, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show them mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not be given unto his son, nor his daughter shall thou make unto thine son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy them, break down their altars, and cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God had chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all the people on the face of the earth. You know, it's people out there that didn't even honor their parents and say, happy holidays to you. I'm celebrating this, but I won't be here. I won't be able to eat with the family. I won't be around the family. I've married another God, and I've got to go here to worship that God, because that God gives us more than your God gives you. You married the wrong person, maybe. Because they hadn't made you more of a family person. They've taken you away from that life. That's why he says, no matter who it is, you are to stone them, because they've caused you to stop following the Lord thy God. He had made you a special and a peculiar people. But once you go to putting all that before God and before the people that God had said, honor, they're worried about you, they're worried about this. But yet still, you don't even have the courtesy to say, I won't be that. You don't have the strength. You don't have the honor, the fortitude, the faith to say, thanks for doing this, thanks for doing that. I can't celebrate with you. I can't do this. And that's why he says they're going to be married and given in marriage. It's more right now that people tailgating and having fun. It's more food that's thrown away from this nation. From their get-togethers, from their parties. You know, I was sitting around, and that's why I don't like holidays that much. I see so many pies being made, so many dressings and salads and foods and meats that's cast aside. We cook more than we need. We waste, you know, we have portable storage sheds and huts now. That's the big thing, climate-controlled storage house. Because we got so much junk, we don't even have room at our houses to store this. We have to rent storage houses to store our junk, stuff that we won't even use. We're busy accumulating. That's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. That's why God said, bit by bit, they're going to take you away from serving God, and now you don't realize what you've become. You've become a glutton. Gluttony is sin. gluttony of sin, eating too much, having too much money, too much of this. And it's not going to fulfill you. It's going to be a party every day, a party every year, a party every week. That's what you're going to look for instead of looking to come and give thanks to the Lord. And those that go to church, some of them, they thank God out of one mouth, but they're hypocritical. It's a hypocritical nation. So before we do these things, when we bow down and relinquish control, well, I wouldn't spend too much. I put too much on my credit card. I wouldn't spend this. I couldn't control my credit because they had this on sale, that on sale, and that on sale. I overspent. Well, the Holy Spirit says you have to learn to control yourself. You have to learn that you have to relinquish your body over to the Spirit of God. Because God says, oh, no man for not. But now you didn't got yourself in such debt. It's going to take you 6 months to come out of. And you remember we studied in Bible study for transgressing God there. Every transgressor will receive his just recompense of reward. And when God starts laying those bricks upon you, like Jehoahaz, he came in and sent the oppressor. And the oppressor started to rob him and take some of his coats from him, take some of his land from him. So what's taking your land? What's locusts and what's caterpillars is taking your money? Is it Macy's? Is it Dillard's? Is it Toys R Us? What locusts and caterpillars is he sending in? Is it some company that loan you the money to get a car? And what stores and things is God sending against you to tempt you to say, here's where you use that forbidden fruit at? That's what he told Eve. It looks good. These prices look good. This is Black Friday. You can't resist it. Came about all night to come here and spend that. He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I want this. I want that. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Just like I told you, he persecuted that came down on the children of Israel. And just cause the oppressor, when he oppresses you, when you pray to God as Jehoahaz did, as the children of God did, God eases that oppression. But without repentance and without turning to God, nothing has changed. You will get back in that same shape again. Israel stayed in that same fix because no repentance was involved. No acknowledging of their mistakes was involved. No circumcision of the heart. We were watching a movie the other night. Me and my son and daughter and wife was when they was cooking the dinner. And this movie, this guy kept trying to change things to where it would be good for him, that the people around him would be the way that he wanted them, what he needed. But he didn't realize when he got what he wanted, when he changed the people, you can't change their nature. Only God can change your nature. How did this person that deceived you and saved somebody else, he didn't save them because he had a heart change that he said that he was trying to outdo this other person. Huh? And you didn't see that he didn't have a heart transformation. It's got people that come in and profess different religions. They'll get baptized. They'll join the church. But that doesn't mean that they've had a heart conversion. All of Israel is not Israel. Only those are they that are circumcised in heart are true children of God. And God does a winnowing effect. That's what he's bringing now. He's bringing judgment in. Because he has to find out those that are truly faithful to him. So it's not in the future. Each one of us are living in our days of judgment. When you get out of here, that's it. You didn't been judged. Whether you develop that character God had given you to develop or not, let some preacher got you thinking of some hereafter where you go do this and you go do that. If you don't do it down here, if you don't practice that down here, if you don't walk in it down here, that character won't be formed. Remember I told you, God justifies us. In other words, he reconciles us. He places us in right standing with him. But still, you have to go through the work of working out your own salvation. You have to go through the process of doing what God had purposed for you to do. You have to mortify your body. You have to resist the devil. You have to walk therein. You have to develop that character. Just as Jesus walked down here and developed his character through suffering. Just as all the apostles did. We have to develop that character because God may have put your wife here. He might have put your children here, your mother, your father, and this was a guide because this truly wasn't your wife. These truly wasn't your children. This is just a play down here to see are you going to be faithful and obedient to the voice of God. And when you wake up and say, well, I did this for my wife or my son. What wife or son? This is though it had never been. Because your object was to follow me. I was supposed to be your focus. Nothing down here supposed to be between me and you. If it was your wife going the wrong way, you had to make a decision. Choose God and your wife. If you choose your wife, that's an idol. If you choose your children, if you choose doing this and that on these days for your children, those are your idols because they are antichrists. They're in the place of Christ. See, therein you have placed them in the place of Christ. And we can't place people and things in the place of Jesus Christ. Because we'll never be saturated or filled with things. That lust will never be filled. But he'll fill you. He'll give you fruit. He'll be able to walk. That's why if you're one's not walking right, you don't follow that one that's walking right. If it was your parents and they had followed after their parents, if your parents was wrong in something, you can't do it just to be with your parents because God may have not given them that light. They're walking in the light God had revealed unto them. And in their life, they'll be saved and you may be lost because you were looking at your parents whereas your parents was looking at God. So you can't blame anybody else for your lost salvation. You can't say, well, I just did this for my wife or my children or my parents. No, God said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. They might not have understood you, and a lot of times people might not understand us when we try to do the best that we can. So what in within that point of disobedience, the third aspect is when we fail to uphold God's name and all that it represents in glory and in honor. Because he who had called you is holy. But as in 1 Peter 1 and 15 it says, but as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So if you was going to get down there, if you was going to go down to that cell, shouldn't you display godly characteristics? You shouldn't be at that door pushing and trampling over nobody. Some people got sprayed with pepper spray. Some people got hit in the head. That's not Christ. That's not glorifying Christ. It says in all manner of conduct and conversation, conduct yourself as one becoming holy. If you stoop to that level and doing this and doing that, you're not representing Christ. We're a royal priesthood. We're supposed to be representatives of Jesus Christ. How I look fighting over a TV with somebody else? How do I look pushing and pulling, trying to get in the door, pushing somebody else down? I was here first. If God has that for me, if I'm seeking the kingdom of God, God add these things to me. And if he made it worthy for me to get it at that time, I'll get it. If not, it doesn't make a difference about the cost because he can give me whatever it costs at full price to pay for it if God wants me with that. So you shouldn't sell yourself out for money. It's a monetary thing. How much it takes for you to become an animal? How much does it take for you to discount this to get you to betray God? How much off should I give and it'll make you not come to church? What kind of home should I give you and you'd rather stay at home and take care of that house than to come to God's house? What kind of car should I give you? What kind of car should you have that you'll work two jobs and not come to the house of God to pay for that car? That car becomes so important you can't let anybody else ride in that car. That you catch pneumonia out there trying to read, clean, and do for that car, and you've heard of incidents where people kill you for touching their car. That car has become an idol to you. See, we have to be holy in all that we do. Does it look right for us to stay up all night to do this and to do that? Some people was out there 12 o'clock because the store opened up at 4 or 5 o'clock that morning. Let me see, can I get you to wake up at 15 minutes early, a half an hour early, to pray to God? But you mean you'll go serve this God 4 hours early? You go out there and wait on this God 4 hours early to get in there to get what he got. But you won't wake up 15 or 30 minutes early to talk with this God. He's not going to charge you anything to come talk to you. He just want to talk to you about how your day will be. But you'll camp out on the concrete. You'll camp out all night, make somebody else keep your kids while you camp out to go somewhere to get for those kids. But you can't wake up early, a half an hour early, to read God's word. That's not giving God the preeminence in your life. You have placed other things ahead of God and before God. So we have to develop holy character. The circumstances that brought about what a lot of people are in today, and that's what I say, it just adds to it, adds to these things, is that God answers, and it's in your further reading of the verses that you can read, where God answers prayer of his children, and he spoke that a lot of times that they will go away from him. Solomon spoke about that in his prayer when dedicating the temple of God, that God's people will go away and do things that they shouldn't do, but when they turn to you and pray to you and humble themselves and pray to God, that God would deliver them. But what does that do? We call it cheap grace nowadays. It produces ingratitude. Because you get in the habit of God and got you out of that bind, you didn't got out of that bind. Because of the goodness of God, which should lead you to repentance, and because sentence against an evil work is not carried out, because God didn't strike you with lightning when you did that. You didn't take from the example of Ananias and Sapphira that God took the tithe in the offering very seriously, that he would kill you. But just because he's not killing you today, because you got off with it last year, because you got off with it in Easter, because you got in a bind here and you robbed God and didn't pay your tithes and offering, and you keep robbing God because you say, well, God knows, God will forgive. That's the excuse we always, God knows I got this thyroid problem and it causes me to overeat, so I'm going to buy all this, I'm going to get all this stuff. God knows I have a shopping problem, so I'm a shopaholic. We're excusing, using our cloak of this cloak of liberty to do maliciousness. That God had given you his grace, but you're not what? Denying yourself. You have to kill self, you have to crucify self. Those desires, you have to mortify those desires and those lusts, because self is not going to ever get enough. A lot of people went out and partied and watched the game and everything. I'm too tired to go to church this morning. Missing one day ain't going to help. Ain't gonna hurt nothing. When your parents, and when people tell you that, you better make it so it's a hardship and not just listen to them, because if you look at their life, they miss a whole lot of things. They're really not a church going person. If you miss, it's because you had to miss. But when you try to justify it, say it ain't gonna hurt nothing, you got a problem, because most people go do like Deacon did this morning. Say, well, look, you got that notes or something from what you did the other day? I was telling my wife, when we take what we're doing, if you're hungering and thirsting after this, if you really want God has, what God has to give you, you're going to say, well, look, let me see what I missed. Give me this tape. Let me hear what I missed, mate. Can I make this up? That's hungering and thirst. You ever seen somebody hungry? I got to call my brother, son, and talk to him. I need to talk to my son, because the other day I was hungry. I got real hungry the other day. I was working back here, and I fell off the ladder. I was working on the church, and I fell off the ladder and busted myself open, kind of. That's why I'm kind of stiff now. But I said, it's going to rain, it's going to be bad weather, this has to be done. My children and people, they were saying, well, you shouldn't have been up on the ladder doing that. But somebody has to do that. We had to get this done. So I went out the very next day. They say, if you fall off the bicycle, get back on again. Don't be scared. So the very next morning, I got up, and I came back, and I finished this, what I was doing on the ladder. Get back on the ladder. Lord, help me. Don't let me fall this time. But it give me sense to do this and do that so it won't slip. And I worked hard all morning. I get there, I'm like Esau. I say, look, what y'all got ready to eat? I'm ready to eat here. My wife said, you ain't five or nothing. You could wait, you know, eat a piece of pie or something. I said, that ain't good. And I just kept pushing and pushing. We was at my son's house. I said, well, that ain't good. I called my daughter. She said, well, I got some turkey over here. I'll feed you with it. I said, because they ain't through over here. We're supposed to be bringing this. We're supposed to, you know, get together for Thanksgiving. One cooking this, one cooking that. I jump up and even go over there and get me a little bowl, just a little bit like Esau. I was thinking about Esau. I told her, I said, hey, man, I'm Esau. I sold a morsel. I sold myself out for a morsel of food. But I thought about it, you know, it really hurt me. I asked my wife, I said, well, it wasn't mad, was it, or whatever. I've been ruining this. I should have just let the pie do, but that was the lust of the flesh. By eating that pie, I could have waited, but I may have made him feel bad behind that. I may have ruined the whole day. And, you know, I'm going to have to go to him personally, not call him, but personally, him saying, I'm sorry, y'all was doing y'all best to get this done and get that done. And through my greed, my hunger, that I did something wrong. So we should be able to not be gluttons, but we have to be able to control our desires. And once we bow down, and a lot of people seen that they bow down to idols, and they don't realize, oh, we don't bow down to idols these days. We don't make this and make idols these days. Well, anything could become an idol. Like I say, I allowed my hunger to cause me to sin. When we gratify the lust of our flesh and of our eyes, that's when we do as Eve did. Because that's the only thing that's in the world. That's how sin enters into you, what's in the world. That's bowing down. Because that thing was the right price, and I had to sacrifice one of the two. But God told you, His statutes and commandments tell you what God expects of you. So you have to deny yourself eating to say, yeah, that tree looks good. But I'm satisfied with eating off these other trees. That one belongs to God. That 10% belongs to God. That offering belongs to God. I don't have enough to get that. See, that's denial of yourself, but man, look at here. I just had you to only live once, so I just had to have it. It was the right price. I don't pay my tithes. I don't do this. I don't give God this. I don't do it. But you robbing and you presuming upon God. That's presumptuous. It would have been better denying yourself. I say, well, that looks good. And I was going to buy one this year after the holidays. But I was thinking, I said, well, maybe we saved the money. And we have that same amount of money coming up next year in November, December. And we'll go down there. We don't have to camp out overnight. The sale was 2-day sale from 5 to 1, both days today, Friday and Saturday. We'll go down there and get, say, the washer or dryer or refrigerator that we wanted. We'll save $400 or $500 on it. But we won't not pay this person. We won't not pay God. We won't sacrifice these things and go out this way. See, that's what can happen to us. We want everything right now. We can't wait. We hadn't developed patience. We got to have it. We got to have it. I might have to pack those clothes out to get washed this year or to get washed for a long time. But it's just sacrifice, and that's what sacrifice means. It costs you something. That's why we fast, because we're trying to get spiritual strength and we're trying to purge our body. It's the cost, but we need to buffet that body and teach that body you can't have everything you need. I can do without eating this whole day. I can do without eating 2 days. You can't control me. But some people be in just eating, passed by the hamburger stand, or somebody eating something, man, that catfish look good. That shrimp look good. You know, and I've had my children even do that. If he see this chicken, he gonna want that. See, sometimes you're gonna have to say no. You're gonna have to teach your body and you can have everything you want. Solomon had one wife, but one wasn't enough, so he got two or three. But then that thing kept working on him like a tapeworm, so he had to have 10, 20. After a while, he had 100. He was up to 700 wives and 300 concubines, and he still hadn't found the right one, he said. Out of 1,000 women, he hadn't found one good. Maybe the problem is with you, Solomon. You can't see what the problem is. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. They've been advertising it. They had this woman on this commercial. She's up there working out. She's doing exercises, getting ready for Black Friday. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. You want to have this. Look at this beautiful Christmas tree. Look at my home. Look how beautiful this tree. All of these gifts that are under the tree. I was able to get the grandchildren this and that. We've done all these things. But at what cost? But at what cost? Huh? Because all that's still corrupt. All that's still corrode. All that is in the world, it was good. But it's how do you go about by achieving those things? You know, if you seek first ye the kingdom of God, he'll add all these things to you. But if you go down there seeking money and seek after this and seek after that, which the Bible doesn't tell you to do, those things are never satisfied. You'll get them. But in their lust for food, we're not satisfied with the daily manna God gives us. We want quail. We want this. We had this in Egypt. You was in slavery in Egypt. What do you mean? You remember the leeks, the cucumbers, and this and that. You were in bondage. We go back under bondage to the world. A lot of us are clean out of debt. You get married to this woman or this guy, and they got you in debt. You almost was clean, you know. You could go buy what you want to buy. You had a retirement, you had savings and this, but the lust of the flesh. They've gotten hold to you, now you can't make ends meet. You stay up all night wondering how you gonna pay for everything you got, and she ain't gonna stop or he ain't gonna stop. You done had this 6 months or a year. Well, I don't want that car, it's an old car now. You mean tell me somebody else get a new car and we got just cause our car 6 months or a year old, now you're saying you don't want that old car? It's a lot of people change houses that way. The gifts that they got, it's like on the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, well, you know, the one with Jim Carrey on it or whatever. He said, all your gifts, I have your gifts. They were in the junk pile. They were in the garbage. People, you go out there, you rob God to buy your coworkers this. You want to buy all your coworkers. You want to buy your friends this and that, that. And your friends throwing it to the side because some other friend gave them something much better than you gave. You in competition. You want to give them something somebody else ain't able to give. That's how it's competition. The church then got competitive. You want to build bigger buildings, and you're not thinking about yourself. It says, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as I've heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. All these little idols are antichrists. If you place them, anti doesn't always mean against. It can mean in place of. All these things you had put in place of Jesus Christ. Huh? And once you deny Jesus, it says, whereby we know it is the last time. They went out from us. They didn't come to church. They didn't follow what we were following. But they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have kept the law. They'd have kept the commandments and statutes of God. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. They were with us and said, we with you, Pastor. We with the church. We with you, Jesus Christ. That's what Judas said. He wasn't fooling Jesus. You say, I know one of you is the devil. It's going to be a lot of them go along in the church, and Jesus will let them go and do that work and do these things and do that, but he's going to say, I never knew you. Because I didn't have fellowship. I didn't have your heart. You wasn't fully committed to me. You would say these things, and you would come to church to hear what the preacher says, but you're not going to do them. You're not going to touch them. You're like a Pharisee. You're preaching these things. He says, do all they bid you to do, but don't do as they do. Don't do. Huh? Because they say and do not. Be do you doies of the word. Be doers of that word. He says, but you have an unction from the Holy One. Ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same had not the Father. Once you don't give God all that he's due, once you don't give him the sacrifices, what are the sacrifices? The death money? Looking at Paul told him, he said, we will give you the sacrifice of our lips offering up praise unto you. Huh? To praise him, to give him the hallelujah is a sacrifice. We need to study some more of those sacrificial honors. Because giving God the glory, giving him your presence, he said, a body is what I desire, and burnt offerings and sacrifice, I have no pleasure. A body is what I had desired. Huh? So bring that body, he says, forsake not the assembling together of yourself. Mouth, I would rather you not be busy working. I would rather you not be busy trying to give me stuff, but I just want you to sit here like Mary and hear the good thing that I have to tell you. Because in those words is power, and in my words is life. Huh? The word is living. If you would consume the word, if you would assimilate the word, it'll give you strength. It'll give you power. But you hear the word, and you think the word is just a dead letter. But it's living. It'll give you power sometime to tell your employer, I can't do it. You just gonna have to let me go or whatever. It'll tell your wife, if you have to go that way and I have to go that way, let's so be it. If we want to stay together, we can stay. But for God I live and for God I die. Huh? You can't live off our faith. You can't live off his faith. Because they tell you this, that, let them ask that you. They laugh at Jesus, they laugh at the prophets, they laugh at the apostles. You have to deny you, that I want to do, I don't do that because there's something greater in me telling me to go ahead. I got an unction and this faith in Jesus, I don't see it, the circumstances don't show it to me. But faith is something I know God's been with me all these years and I'm not going to forsake him. Because if I fall and hurt myself, he had given me power to stand before you this day. I was weak and couldn't hardly move that night. This morning I was, but when I talk about God and loses, something empowers me. That's why Caleb, he said, I'm stronger now than I was 45 years ago. God is able to strengthen you. God is able to give you a voice to speak boldly and say, man ought to obey God rather than man. As we get ready to close this up, we shall know them by their fruits. It's a lot of people that say, I'm with you. I'll be with you. But without that spirit, you're still under the law. Huh? No matter how much preaching and teaching you hear, how many Bibles you study, how many extra books you study, watch it, Peter. You don't know what you're saying. I know some of y'all say, I'm willing to die for you, Lord. He said, watch it, Peter. You don't know what you say. Wait till circumstances come. Wait till oppression come. Wait till it come to that they got that thing on sale. Let me see if you're willing to die for me then. Wait till your life is on the line. Watch it, Peter. You don't know what you're saying. See, Peter hadn't received of the Holy Spirit yet. He hadn't been blessed with the power on high. Huh? See, that didn't come to the day of Pentecost. That's why he told them to what preach it. Y'all go back and wait for me in Galilee. Tarry you in Galilee till you receive power from on high. It's a lot of them that preach this gospel who hadn't got power from on high. And they tell you this and they tell you that, but they will bring peace, peace, and go say good things to you because you know why? We don't want you to walk out that door. The world's making the building fail. I'm not going to preach on sin to you. You know, I have remember, and they why I say this and say that. He's out of the church. They out of the church. And they out of that same wife, too. Well, maybe if you'd have stayed before God, he'd have strengthened you. Huh? You can't listen to people. People will change on you in a minute. See, long as you got Jesus, that's all you need. And these people, some of them had Jesus, and Jesus is going to remove the circumstances, but it rains on the just and unjust. Israel hardened their heart. They kept walking in the wrong way because they held on to the sins of Jeroboam. They held on to idolatry. They held on to the things of the world. It's a lot of the people that say, I don't care what pastors say. I don't care what they say. I know how to take care of myself. Well, that's the problem. Self should be there. I had to look out for myself. That's your problem. You're looking out for yourself. That's one generation gone. It's got three more to come. Joash and his other two sons, because God had promised him to the fourth generation. So that's when Israel will have problems. That's when Jehu's house will be cut off. Is it something your parents did in their lives that God had made a promise in to keep his word, to keep God's going to honor his word? And all these, what Haziel did, what Benadad did, was all according to the word of God. And he said he wasn't just going to blot Israel out. God's not just going to blot you out. And because of David, that's why some of his sons made it. But you know, in due time, all those that, what we say in Bible study, all those that sin against me, him I'm going to persecute. Him I'm going to get. Each transgression will receive his just recompense of reward. So when your wife talking about you, your husband talking about you, kids talking about you, people on the job talking about you, sometimes it's better not to even hear it. That way you won't reply about it. You won't have to worry about, well, what did he say? What did this person say? Whatever they say, leave it in God's hand. He's the avenger of all unrighteousness. His anger kindled against them because they talking against you because you're talking for God. And God said, it ain't you that they hate, it's me that they hate. No lies of the truth. Huh? So let them talk about you. But you do the will of God. And you know that you're walking in the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is right here among us. And that you can live for God right here each and every day, that Jesus lives in you, and it could be heaven right here on earth, because everything he created was good. And whatever life has to throw at you, you know through Christ you can do all things. You more than a conqueror. He had just given you power to endure. He had given you power to overcome these things. So each trial and tribulation, we should glory in trial and tribulation. Blessed are you when people persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. Blessed are the broken in spirit, huh? Because a lot of times people go say things to you, and the ones closest to you go say things to you that's going to hurt your feelings so bad. But God said, blessed are those that are broken in spirit, because you're not haughty spirit, you're not high-minded, you don't have to retaliate, you don't have to have an excuse for everything. You can just take it. And just keep on heaving on there, because he had given me power to bear up under this. God gives you power to bear up under all life can throw at you. So he will listen to that when you pray. But we know God hears not a sinner's prayers. And he gave them this because he had other things coming down the pipeline. God had other things coming down the pipeline for us, but we have to endure what we're walking in today. We have to be the Jehoahazes of the day. But we can't be like him and not turn to God. He didn't turn to God. He did that which is evil in God's sight. We have to do that which is good in God's sight. We have to walk uprightly before God. We have to lean not to our own understanding. And sometimes we can't be the party favorite. Everybody's not going to say good things about us. They're going to say this and say that. Heavenly Father, help your word go home to the hearers today, Lord God. Strengthen each and every one that has heard your words this day, Lord God. Let it feed them this week, Lord God, as the manna from heaven, Lord God. For you are that bread that cometh down, Lord God. We know that your word giveth life, Lord God. Each and every one this week, Lord God, that have heard your message, Lord God, as they come into whatever circumstances or whatever obstacles they come to, Lord God, let their mind meditate upon your word, Lord God. Let it draw strength from you, Lord God, and take heed unto your word and your statutes, commandments, and precepts, and walk therein, Lord God. Deny self, Lord God, crucify self. And let them glorify you in all manner of conduct and conversation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for letting me come into your heart with me.